Hi dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series on Radio Sai, where we share with you beautiful compositions and bhajans which used to be sung in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan in the yesteryears. We have done more than 20 bhajans in this series, and each one of them is a beautiful namavali, simple tune, simple lyrics, but each one of them is so pregnant with such deep feeling, such deep significance. The bhajan we have for today is one such. The first line of the bhajan is
Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. It has just four lines. Brother Srinivasulu will now spell out the lyrics for you, and then we'll move on to learning its tune, understanding its raga, and then we will take every word of this beautiful bhajan and in our own little way try to assimilate what this bhajan is communicating to us. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal, राधा माधव जय गोपाल, बृंदावन के जय गोपाल, मुरली मनोहर जय गोपाल.
Now that we know the lyrics, here is the tune of the bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham.
Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal.
Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal.
Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal.
Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal.
Radha Madhava Jaya Gopal.
Radha Madhava Jaya Gopal.
Radha Madhava Jaya Gopal.
Radha Madhava Jaya Gopal.
Brindavan ke Jaya Gopal.
Brindavan ke Jaya Gopal.
Brindavan ke Jaya Gopal.
Brindavan ke Jaya Gopal.
Murali Manohar Jaya Gopal.
Murali Manohar Jaya Gopal.
Murali Manohar Jaya Gopal.
Murali Manohar Jaya Gopal.
Jaya Gopal, 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 గోపాల జయ గోపాల
జయ గోపాల జయ గోపాల
రాధా ప్యారే జయ గోపాల
సో దట్స్ ద బ్యూటిఫుల్ సాఫ్ట్ మెలడీ అడోరింగ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ. And you heard in the voice of Brother Srinivasulu. Let us explore a little more about the beauty and the simplicity of this bhajan. Brother Anirudh will now tell us a little bit about the raga of the bhajan and also the swaras that make this bhajan so endearing to hear. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the technical makeup of this bhajan?
Sai Ram Vishu.
Sai Ram.
This beautiful melody just makes me close my eyes and keep connected to Krishna because it has such meditative power in this bhajan, which is given by the rag Darbari in the Hindustani classical music, or we call it Darbari Kannada in the Carnatic classical music. And we have discussed many bhajans in Darbari, and you have many soulful bhajans in this raga. This is a very short and sweet bhajan, and it goes like step by step and simple namavali. And one bhajan which has, I feel, the word pyare is not so common in our bhajans, whereas this bhajan has the word pyare and Radha. Radha Pyare Jaya Gopal. Coming to Darbari Kannada, as you would have already known the notes of the raga, it has a mix of komal and shuddha notes.
Sare shudri, sare ga,
komal ga,
ma pa da,
komal da,
ni sa,
ni is komal ni.
Sa
This bhajan has a flavor of very old song, like the old movie songs and the Hindi songs, which has the Darbari flavor. If you observe, those songs will have more of glides, like
ta ra 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 ha.
I'm remembering an instrument which enhances this glides is in the guitar called Hawaiian guitar. They used to use this in the olden days. So you get this exactly this glide in that guitar.
The slide, the Indian slide guitar.
The slide guitar is a modernized. It's a different instrument, but this was a little different tone. It's more of guitar based, and it used to get. Give the slides which was very emotional in some ragas like Darbari, and this bhajan has that glides, like in the third line also,
Brindavan ke jay gopal murali manohar jay gopal.
I think Darbari is such a powerful raga, and so many bhajans are based on it. So many powerful emotions it evokes. Perhaps maybe you can just give us a montage of so many bhajans and do an elaboration of this raga, Rag Darbari.
Ah, 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 जय गजानना, मुझे दर्श दिखाओ भगवान। श्री साईनाथ भगवान, दर्श दिखाओ भगवान। आओ प्यारे नयन हमारे, साई हमारे आओ। हरि ओम नमः शिवाय, शिव शिव शंकर हर परमेश्वर, साईश्वराय नमो। शिव शिव शंकर हर परमेश्वर, साईश्वराय नमो। जय हो जय हो गोपालना, जय हो जय हो नारायणा। गोपाल गोपाल नाचो गोपाला, नाचो नाचो साई नंदलाला। साई नाम बोलो सत्य, साई नाम बोलो।
It goes on and on.
Yes.
You have many Sarvadharma bhajans actually in Darbari. Ramakrishna Tumuho, He Nirakari Allah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And many Krishna bhajans also.
Yeah.
Because I think there are bhajans.
It's a mix of Sai, Krishna, Sarvadharma.
Yeah, you find almost on every god you find lots of bhajans. So let's come back to our bhajan. So shall we do the swaras for every line?
Yeah. So let's take the first line.
राधा प्यारे जय गोपाल, सा सा सरी सनी ने सा सरी रे,
सा सा सरी सनी ने सा सरी रे।
राधा माधव जय गोपाल, गग मरे सस ददने रे सा,
गग मरे सस ददने रे सा।
वृंदावन के जय गोपाल, ससरे प प प म प म प नि प ग,
ससरे प प प म प म प नि प ग।
मुरली मनोहर जय गोपाल, ग ग ग म रे स स द द नि रे सा,
ग ग म रे स स द द नि रे सा।
एंड द नेक्स्ट टू लाइन्स इन द थर्ड स्पीड फॉलो द सेम पैटर्न एज द फर्स्ट लाइन एंड द सेकेंड लाइन।
जय गोपाल जय गोपाल, जय गोपाल जय गोपाल। इट्स लाइक सा सा सरी सनी नि सा सरी रे,
लाइक हाउ वी सैंग द फर्स्ट लाइन।
ओके, आई गेस द बीट ऑल्सो इज द यूजुअल बीट, राइट?
या द बीट ऑफ दिस भजन इज सिंपल 8 बीट, विच इज कहरवा इन द हिंदुस्तानी क्लासिकल म्यूजिक, आदितालम इन द कर्नाटिक क्लासिकल म्यूजिक। So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Radha pyare jay gopal,
Radha pyare jay gopal,
Radha madhav jay gopal,
Radha
जय गोपाल।
वृंदावन
of the bhajans of this earlier era, they were all very simple, you know, they're very enticing for you to follow because of their simplicity.
Yeah.
And simplicity of not only the tune, but also the simplicity of the lyrics.
Yeah. That's what we need, more such simple bhajans to be composed now than making it complicated. Because once the bhajan is more rich in its musical aspect, or the classical raga aspect, then, you know, some of the devotees might just keep their mouth shut, and like it makes you disconnected. A bhajan should not make you feel disconnected. It should always take you towards God.
Everyone should feel like joining in.
Exactly. And that's why the simple namavalis always have that charm and its own.
Yes, and in those days you used to have bhajans like this, which used to go on for 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Exactly.
You know, I think these will start in a slow pace and they would go on to 4 speed, 5th speed.
Like,
and
how
everyone
we have
can
the third
follow.
Speed for
you
this bhajan.
So you have the entire concourse of devotees happily joining in.
Exactly.
Even if, you know, when you go to 4th speed, 5th speed. So it really builds up amazing vibration. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam. Sairam. So with the tune done, the raga done, the beat also explained, we now move on to the significant part of understanding what each word of this beautiful bhajan is communicating to us. Let's take the first line.
Radha pyare jaya gopal.
Here Radha refers to one of the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna. Pyare means beloved. Jaya means victory be too. Gopal, one of the names of Lord Krishna, it can be split into Go and Pala. Go means cows. One meaning of Go is cows, but there are so many other meanings. Pala means to protect or foster. During the summer showers of 1978, the series of discourses that Swami gave to the students in the months of April and May, Bhagwan once revealed the close connection that existed between Radha and Krishna. Swami said, very close to Gokul Vrindavan, where Krishna was residing, there used to be a place called Vrishabhapura. Radha was living in Vrishabhapura and knew from the very beginning that she is an embodiment of Prakriti or nature, and she is connected with Paramatma. She was aware of her connection with Krishna. Swami went on to say that since the entire creation was only a projection of Paramatma in the context of Radha, who signifies creation, and Krishna, who signifies Paramatma or Creator, the relationship between Radha and Krishna was one like the relationship between an object and its image. Physically, Radha was 9 years older than Krishna. She was also a cousin sister of King Nanda, and so very connected with the Nanda family. Ever since Krishna reached the home of Nanda in Yashoda, Radha always wanted to be close to Krishna. At all times, she would be thinking of Krishna, uttering the name of Krishna. Her daily routine was filled with work connected with Krishna. Krishna was only 7 years old then. Every day, as soon as Krishna got up, he used to take milk from his mother and walk to Vrishabhapura and return. The mother did not know anything about this, and if the mother asked where he went, Krishna used to say that he went in search of the cows. And Bhagwan says, here one may get a doubt that Krishna had spoken untruth. But Swami said, you should remember that Krishna never spoke untruth in all his life. We think of the truth as untruth because of our inadequacies, our impurities and our inconsistencies. When Krishna said that he had gone in search of the cows, Swami said it was the truth. We regard the earth as a cow because it yields all that man needs for its sustenance. And that is how we have Gomata, Bhumata, Vedamata. Because these are the entities which give us what is needed to live on earth. The earth is the mother, the cow is the mother, the Vedas are the mother. And so Radha, which symbolizes creation, which symbolizes earth, was like a mother, was like the cow. Therefore, when Krishna said that he went looking in search of cows, he was not speaking untruth. And Bhagwan went on to say that in this manner, ever since Krishna was born, the thought of Radha was imprinted on his mind. And as the days rolled on, one day Radha intended to enter Vrindavan to pick up some dried pieces of cow dung. And she was making her attempts to enter the city, and Krishna recognized that Radha was making this effort, and so he went to the watchman of the kingdom and instructed him to state that only men are permitted to enter Vrindavan, women are strictly prohibited. So when Radha was trying to enter Vrindavan, the watchman stopped Radha, and she was utterly confused. She asked, "Can you stay in Vrindavan? If you can enter Vrindavan, I can also enter." This is what she told the watchman, and the watchman replied, "There is a difference. I am a man and you are a woman." And Radha immediately said, "You are making a big mistake. In this world, Krishna is the only Purusha, the only male person. All others are women. If you can enter, I can also enter." So this is how she argued with that watchman and finally said, "How can you call yourself a man? Is it because you are wearing robes and you are dressed like a man?" And the watchman did not know what to say. And at that point in time, Krishna appeared there. He was coming from behind. He saw all this. And looking at Radha, Krishna said, "Radha, you are forcing your entry into Vrindavan. And because you are a woman and you have now breached the rule, you have to pay tax by way of penalty for disobeying the orders of the king." And now Radha replied, "O Lord, the heart you have given me is my only property. I can return it to you by way of tax. I have neither wealth nor possessions to pay tax in any other manner. I shall gladly surrender my only belonging, namely my heart, to you." And when Krishna heard this, he was so touched. He said, "O golden Radha, Vrindavan has come into existence only to immortalize the kind of divine relationship that exists between me as Paramatma and you as Prakriti. Posterity will know that Krishna was always enshrined in the heart of Radha. This commitment made by me will always convey the meaning of the relationship that existed between Radha and Krishna. Where there is Prakriti, there will be Paramatma. Where there is Paramatma, there will be creation. Prakriti, Paramatma and Prakriti are like the object and the image. Wherever we may go, the combination and the confluence of the two aspects of Radha and Krishna will be what people can see in this world." This is what Krishna revealed in that conversation with Radha way back in Dwapara Yuga, and you had now Sai Krishna reveal this to us. No wonder every time the word Radha used to be mentioned, Bhagwan would be overwhelmed with emotion, because he is Radha Pyare. He is the one who is the beloved of Radha. So in this line, we call out to that Lord who is closest to Radha, and we pray that let there be victory to you, O beautiful one. Let's move on to the next line.
Radha Madhava Jaya Gopal.
Here the only new word is Madhava, which comes from Ma and Dhava. Ma denotes Mother Lakshmi, Dhava means husband or master. Goddess Lakshmi also represents nature or Prakriti, which is an inseparable part of the Creator. Ma also means illusion in some contexts. Ma also means the master of creation or nature. So the word Madhava has multiple connotations and each of them is so meaningful. One is only reminded of Janmashtami when we celebrate the birth of Lord Krishna and how in Puttaparthi or Vrindavan, wherever Swami used to be, during this festival there would be procession of cows and calves and rabbits. They all would come to his presence and Swami would stroke the rabbits, feed the little calves, caress the pigeons, lovingly tend to the deer. It was that beautiful wordless exchange of love between the creator and his creation, because he is that Madhava. He is the one who is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of Prakriti. And that is what is conveyed in this line, Radha, Madhava, Jai Gopal, victory to such a Lord who is the master of creation. Let's move on to the next line.
Vrindavan ke Jai Gopal.
Vrindavana comes from Brinda, which refers to Tulsi or the sacred basil leaves. Vana means forest or garden. Ke means of. So Vrindavan ke Jai Gopal, we are referring to that Gopal, that Krishna of Vrindavan. There's a very beautiful incident recorded in the book Anyathashanam Nasti, penned by Mrs. Vijay Kumari. This incident probably happened in 1948. A little distance from the old mandir in Prashanti, there was a garden of tulsi plants, basil plants. They were not grown as separate plants, but looked more like a cluster of shrubs. As in Krishna's Vrindavan, they appeared as beautiful bushy arbors. And Mrs. Vijay Kumari says that she has never seen such arbors anywhere else. So all the devotees used to gather heaps of tulsi leaves and prepare garlands for Bhagwan. And Swami in those days used to play with these devotees so much. One Swami said, "Whoever makes a garland that comes exactly to my feet from my neck, I will give that person a gift. And do you know what that gift is going to be? I'm going to give that person 2 Pad Namaskarams. The chance to touch my feet twice." So all the devotees with all excitement started making the garlands. They were guessing his height and stitching the basil leaves. And very casually, without being flustered the least bit, Bhagwan also sat along with them and started making a garland. And he was talking and joking with them all the while. And whenever the devotees were busy plucking the leaves, Swami would be there and suddenly Swami would disappear. And then all the devotees would get perturbed, they would call out him, they would search for him behind every arbor, behind every shrub, and failing to find him after a thorough search, they would implore him, "Swami, please come back, where are you, where are you?" And then Swami would walk out of the same arbor which they had thoroughly searched just a few seconds earlier. And they would exclaim in wonder, "How is this possible? Swami, we searched for you here only. Everywhere we searched for you." And Swami would just only simply laugh. He would laugh heartily. And another wonder that used to happen is, although all the tulsi garlands were made to size, none of the garlands would fit him exactly, except the one that Swami made himself. And then the mischievous little Sai Krishna would ask, "Oh, so to whom do I now grant Padmaskaram?" And the devotees would not know what to say. And the next moment, Swami would now collect all the garlands and make a round ball of them. And then he would have all the women stand on one side, all the men on the other side. And then the ball would now be thrown from one side to the other. And Swami would be standing in the center. And sometimes he would be invariably catching hold of the ball and then throwing it to them. So it was just a game. And all the people, all the devotees there, those countable few privileged, precious devotees, you know, they would be just shouting, "Swami, Swami, move, Swami, Swami, watch out," because they were throwing the ball. They would be afraid that Swami would get hit, but Swami would sometimes hold it and Swami would throw at them. So it was such a mesmerizing play that they were almost in a trance. It was a sweet forgetfulness that pervaded their entire being. It was a totally new dimension of awareness. They all felt as if they were holding Bhagwan's hands and they were going round and round. They were feeling that they were floating on air. And such great was their feeling of happiness, that peace, that bliss, that joy, that they just felt they were in some other strange, exotic world. They had no idea how much time was spent in this manner. And after some time, along with Bhagwan, the devotees used to return to Mandir. And now they were not even able to walk steadily on the ground. They were feeling that they were walking in the air. And then they would have dinner and again swarm around Bhagwan's cot. And then one of them said, "Swami, I have been feeling dizzy since this evening. It is not a headache. It is such a beautiful feeling actually. It is such a strange, sweet sensation." And Swami replied impishly, "It is not ordinary dizziness. You are feeling dizzy because all evening you have been dancing with me." At that point in time, none of the devotees understood what was happening. It is 1948. Swami was just barely 20. But as the devotees started talking to each other about their experience, each one was saying, "Swami was dancing with me." "No, Swami was dancing with me." The other person said, "Swami was dancing with me too." And Mrs. Vijayakumari asked Bhagwan, "Swami, can this be true? How is it that all of us feel that you are dancing with us, you are playing with us?" And then Bhagwan, with a twinkle of laughter, replied, "This is Rasa Leela." The devotees just stared at Swami with open mouths and wide eyes. They could not even fully understand the profundity of the experience that Bhagwan had blessed them with. Bhagwan further said, "In those days, Krishna used to play like this with Gopikas. Krishna simultaneously danced with each one of the Gopikas as proof of his all-pervasive presence in the universe. And that is what each one of you experienced today. It is that rare joy, that supreme bliss, which is making you feel as if you are floating in the air. That sweet thought is making you feel frenzied with happiness. You have been praying for this and waiting for this boon for many, many eons from many, many previous births. What you have experienced is only a sample of my divine grace." When Bhagwan revealed this, all the devotees just fell at his lotus feet. The next day also they continued to feel dizzy, as if they were still going round and round in their play with Bhagwan. However, this day, more than the previous day, they were able to comprehend at least a little of that divine ecstasy and that sweet experience. It was some incomprehensible state of bliss, a strange forgetfulness. And whenever they used to think of this in the later years, it used to be almost like they were being filled with a shower of a stream of soothing moonlight. They would just think about it and laugh to themselves and be in that bliss, be in those heights of ecstasy. As Mrs. Vijayakumari says, "This is something that can never ever be put in words." So that is the Krishna we are talking about in this line, the Krishna of Vrindavan, who elevated every being just by his presence. And it is the same that got enacted in this era too. Let's move on to the last line.
Murali Manohara Jaya Gopal.
Murali is the name of Krishna again, because he is the one who plays on the flute. Manohara means one who enchants. Murali Manohara refers to the lovely Lord who captures the minds and hearts of everyone with the lilting melodies of his flute. There's another meaning of Manohara. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, this word refers to the enchanting female form of the dancer Mohini that Lord Vishnu once assumed. On one occasion, the Devas and the Asuras, the demons and the angels got into a fight, and which led them to churning the ocean of milk to acquire the nectar that would bestow immortality. At one point, it seemed as though the demons were about to win, but just then, Lord Vishnu appears as Mohini, as a beautiful damsel, and he begins to dance, and all the demons are so enchanted with this dancer that they forget about the nectar. And taking this opportunity, now Vishnu distributes the nectar to the gods and ensures that it does not reach the demons. So the deep lesson here is, the Lord can delude you, but you have to be on guard. He is the one who is the Lord of Maya. He is the one who can mesmerize our mind and make us forget our real self, because the Maya is very powerful. The demons lost the nectar because they went after the dancer. And that is the lesson that the Lord is teaching us. If we want immortality, if we want the Amrita, then we have to be always on guard to look at only at the Atma, the Antaratma. And that is that Krishna. That is that Manohara. He is the one who can delude us with his illusion, but we have to hold on to him firmly so that we attain this Amrita, this bliss of immortality. And of course, as we know, the flute is the chosen instrument of the Lord, because it has no twists or turns, because it is hollow, because it is straight, because it has no ego, because it knows that it is not the doer. Once Bhagwan said, "I advise you to become the flute, for then the Lord will come to you, pick you up, put you onto his lips and breathe through you and out of the hollowness of your heart due to the utter absence of egoism that you would have developed. He will create captivating music for all creation to enjoy. Be straight without any will of your own. Merge your will in the will of the Lord. Inhale only the breath of the Lord. That is divine life, and that is what I want all of you to achieve." The same Lord, when he came down as Sai Krishna, has been looking for his flute, has been looking for those souls who can become his flute. And it is up to us to see how we can become that hollow, how we can be so pure that the Lord irresistibly picks us up and makes us an instrument of his glory, his music and his love. As we sing this bhajan, as we sing this line, "Murali Manohara Jai Gopal," if we can only pray to the Lord that he makes us egoless, that he makes us completely free of bends and twists and blemishes, so that we can sing the victory of the Lord in all gaiety, in all joy, in all purity. That is what is the prayer that we should probably make when we sing this line, "Murali Manohara Jai Gopal." So dear listeners, there are so many beautiful ways to look at every line, every word of this bhajan, and what we have done till now is just one perspective. Whatever way we can add some feeling to what we are singing is always welcome. And bhajans are only meant for this, to aid us in this endeavor, so that we can express what our heart wants to convey in a beautiful manner, in a loving manner, in a manner that touches the Lord. So let's now sing this bhajan once again, now along with the students of the Prashantila Mandir. And as we sing, let's just offer ourselves at his feet in complete surrender.
राधा प्यारे जय गोपाल,
of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to us. Please feel free to send your mails to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.